You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, live from Dallas, he's not wearing a cowboy hat, though I'm a little upset about that. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Going to take care of that later on with a visit to the stockyards in Fort Worth here. Hey, good morning, Wisconsin. 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, October 7th. It is another beautiful morning up north. At least I'm taking it on faith that it is a little cooler than when I left. But again, on the road in Texas this week, thank you for tuning in from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or listening or watching us on all the other various platforms out there. I've got a question for you. Are you as grateful to Jack Centurio as I am for allowing me to go to bed at a decent hour last night? Because that home run, putting the Brewers up 7-3 over the Cubs, said that Parker and I could get a decent night's sleep tonight and not have to stay up for the whole thing. Right, Parker? Right, Parker? You didn't stay up for the whole game, did you, Parker?
Certainly not. Why would a person do that?
because it was a fun game to watch, wasn't it?
It was a very fun game. It was a very happy game. I love beating Craig Counsell.
It is so good. Tony right away on YouTube. Hey there, hi there, ho there. How about them Brewers? I'm glad that we've given Tony one team to cheer for now. Nothing against Cleveland, but he's with us full time now on the bandwagon, that's a beautiful thing. It was a lot of fun to watch. But again, not in the very beginning, because that seems to be our move now. It's become the obligatory spotting of the Cubs a lead in the top of the first. And frankly, I got to give credit to Sherry. She nails this. She said it on Saturday and again last night. She's like, that's how we play our best, it seems, is when we're chasing something. You have to chase a lead down. And we certainly did it, bigly on Saturday. And we sure did it again this time. Like how I put we in there? We did this?
Of course.
So, the Cubs jump off to a three-run lead in the opening frame. Aaron Ashby was the opener and gave up that three-run homer. And, it was a bullpen game because Brandon Woodruff is out with an injury. But after that three-run homer, you turn things over to Nick Mears, Jacob Mizorowski, Chad Patrick, Jared Kinnig, Trevor McGill, and Abner Uribe. They combined for 7 1/3 innings of shutout ball in which they allowed one hit. One. It was just a stellar job.
I think three total base runners and all of that came from Miz, I'm pretty sure.
And Mizorowski, again, there was some drama there. He came on in the third. He threw three scoreless innings to earn the win. He hit at least 100 miles an hour on 31 of his 57 pitches. And each of his first eight pitches went at least 102.6 miles an hour and topped out at 104.3. We're all sitting there in the living room watching this and we're like, that was 102. That was 103. That was 104. It was back down to 102 again. He ended the third inning with an unassisted put out of a ground ball, which at first kind of looked like he was showboating, but then he confirmed after the game what we all suspected. He wasn't hitting the strike zone every time, obviously. And he was a little paranoid of overthrowing Andrew Vaughn over there at first base. And so he decided to run to the base himself, which
as he should have.
If I were in his large shoes, I probably would do as well, because I think we've just gotten used to the notion that he throws this heat, but he still, he's just like in the movie Major League, he can't always control where that heat's going to go.
No, his command can get a little wild. They keep talking about how his problem is he falls off the mound towards the first base side.
That's
been the issue the whole time with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of just am baffled that we know exactly what the issue is, and you can literally see the issue, and it hasn't quite been solved. But last night he was pretty good. He had his command in control.
Enough to get, again, three scoreless innings, which, yeah. Look, if he were doing that as a starter, we'd be like, why is he only going three innings again as a starter? That's why I think we've probably found where he will perform best for now.
Maybe. We'll get there when we get there. I don't know if I would want him out of the bullpen next year. I don't think he's quite what I envision a long relief guy being. But...
Oh, he's nothing like what you envision a long relief, but he's getting it done right now, like you said.
Yeah.
For what we need in front of us, that's okay. And now, again, all that praise to the bullpen. Let's take nothing away from the bats. I mean, Andrew Vaughn tying things up with a three-run homer in the bottom of the first inning.
Finally getting another home run. It had been electric. Like a month or so.
And I never thought that thing was going over the fence because he hit it a mile high.
It was a moonball.
It went out. And then, again, as I mentioned, Jackson Churio hitting his own three-run homer, which kind of sealed the deal for me. But there was also a William Contreras solo shot. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe all seven runs came on home runs. Yes, that makes sense. That checks out. Compared to game one, where the Brewers scored nine runs and none of them were on home runs. So you never know what you're going to get from this team.
You can get it done any way you want.
Which is now just one win away from a trip to the National League Championship Series. So up two games to none. It is a best 3-5. They're off today as they move the series to Wrigley Field. And so game three will be held tomorrow afternoon. Pre-game coverage will begin at 3:30 on some stations across the Civic Media Radio Network with the first pitch just a little bit after 4 o'clock. Again, catch it on the radio. If you've got to catch it on TBS, that's fine. But I don't know the announcers. And I miss Brian Anderson. I don't want this generic network talk, Ron Darling, giving you the equivalent of, yep, he really does have to throw the ball fast to, make the batter strike out.
Yeah.
Really, Ron? Okay. Thanks for that amazing insight. It sounded a lot like that last night.
That's why they call you the league's best color man, right?
Right. So if you are in a position to sync up your radio and TV, listen to the local announcers if you can. We thought we were kind of thinking this might be rather disastrous when Brandon Woodruff went down. I'm not going to lie. That's certainly what I was thinking. Like, oh, well, thanks for playing, guys. Maybe next year, but... So far, so good.
So far, so good. I wasn't quite there because there are so many good starting pitchers. Frankly, I'm still not happy with how we approached the game pitching-wise last night. I don't entirely understand why we went with a bullpen game instead of putting out Priester or Patrick or Quintana. But, I think pretty much everybody's available tomorrow. So I can't really argue with this.
No. Once you've seen the results, you go, oh, hey, in hindsight, that was genius.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wondered the same thing too. Like, well, why wouldn't you just bump your other starters up? But I suppose whatever it is, so many days rest or the matchup with the Cubs. But speaking of the Cubs, those cutaways to Craig Counsell. And again, Craig Counsell still has many, many friends and fans in the Milwaukee area. I get that, hometown kid, blah, 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 blah. The boos that rained down upon him during his mound visits were, how do I put this, delicious. I mean, just so good.
It was the loudest I think it's ever been booing him, which made my day.
And you know what? If as he's walking out there, he's going, well, the paycheck's still cash. then good on him, because that's why he did. He's the highest paid manager. Or I don't know if he still is, but he certainly was at the time. So, again, that's his decision to do that, and it's our decision to let him know what we think about it. But it was a good crowd, obviously, with the playoffs, but I kind of wondered with a late start, whether the crowd would really be into it. And I realize not everybody goes to bed as early as Grandpa over here. But still, an 8 o'clock start is something relatively rare here in the Midwest. So
yeah, it is. That was very late.
Yeah. And tomorrow at Wrigley Field, Well, I mean, that's going to be a different matter. You certainly did hear Cubs fans, you know, especially in the top of the first last night.
They were there.
But it's not as prevalent as it used to be, where, I mean, it used to be that American Family Field, Miller Park before that, I mean, really did sound like Wrigleyville North, you know, and you didn't have nearly as many Cubs fans down at Wrigley. But this year definitely felt different. It definitely feels like more Brewers fans will make the trek down to the north side of Chicago and cheer for the Brewers at Wrigley. And I expect a fair share of them will be there tomorrow afternoon as well.
Yeah, I would think so. I think I read that yesterday coming into the game, the beat writers were saying if the game one was like a 70-30 split, this is like an 80-20 split. If like Brewers really showed up. But yeah, I get the feeling that the Brewers will travel down to Wrigley pretty well. They usually do fairly well, I think. And now you really got something on the line. So,
oh yeah, I mean, a chance to move on to the National League Championship Series without a doubt. So, a lot to watch for there, of course. So we'll have more to say about the Brewers Game 2 victory coming up throughout the morning, throughout the day here across the Civic Media Radio Network. And then coming up across the program today, well, it's Tuesday. That means we'll have what I guess you could call our capital to capital block, where we start in the nation's capital and talk to Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom. He'll join us live to talk about the shutdown and what is he seeing as he, you know, works across Capitol Hill. Remember last week before the shutdown, we talked to him and he was in a relatively empty building for the House of Representatives, Republicans showing no sense of urgency in preventing the shutdown. We'll see how things are looking right now. Both sides appear to be dug in. Both sides appear to be, the Trump administration and congressional Republicans seem to be dug in on inflicting a maximum amount of pain. That includes Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy talking about upcoming delays in air travel being likely. You'd think he'd want to avoid that, since it was delays in air travel that led Trump to blink the last time that he shut down the government. There's also talk about preparing a big bailout for farmers, because of course you've also got, on top of the government shutdown, a trade war that the president started last time around. It cost American taxpayers about $20 billion to protect farmers from Trump's tariffs. This time around, Republicans are talking about maybe a $50 billion bailout. You know, just, weren't these the guys that didn't like driving up the national debt? But apparently that's what they are willing to do in this at this point. So we'll talk to Hans Breitenmoser, a dairy farmer from up in Lincoln County, about that. He'll be joined by Sheila Everhart of the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association on some much happier news about agriculture, a sliver of the agricultural industry in Wisconsin, and that would be apples. The apple harvest is in, looking good. There's so many different varieties, and Sheila's going to talk to us all about the things that you can do with Wisconsin apples, all the right varieties for the right dishes. Oh, let me back up a step. I got to talking about the shutdown. Yes, we'll talk to Cam Stevenson in the nation's capital. What's new at the state capitol? We'll talk to Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area all about that as he follows Wisconsin political news for us. But coming up next, we're going to talk about the latest Republican attacks on free and fair elections, and Ron Johnson shocked that he was investigated for his role in potentially overturning the 2020 presidential election. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be back in a bit.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. It is a little chilly up north on this Tuesday morning, October 7th. Ooh, October 7th, before I forget. Happy birthday, Mom. There we go. won't be in the doghouse today. It is 32 degrees right now in Hayward, in Manitowish Waters, and in Tomahawk. It's 45 in the Chippewa Valley, 48 in La Crosse, 43 in Wisconsin Rapids, and the warm spot across Wisconsin, basically the entire southeast corner, is hovering around 55 degrees right now. Tomorrow on the program, while I'm here in Texas, I'm going to be talking to a member of a group that fights for fair funding for public schools, threatened by the explosive growth of taxpayer-funded vouchers for private schools. It's a big, growing problem in Wisconsin. It's a much bigger problem here in Texas, where I guess everything is supposedly bigger, including the crisis facing public schools. And so we'll talk to a member of a national education group about what lessons from Texas can we take to Wisconsin. Also tomorrow, we'll talk to Chuck Collins from Patriotic Millionaires and his new book about how concentrated wealth and power are ruining lives and the planet. But let's take a couple of minutes here to talk about the latest attacks on free elections in the United States, because despite still no evidence of widespread election fraud and a constant stream of legal rulings that affirm voting rights, far-right extremists are not giving up trying to make voting more difficult in Wisconsin. I got three examples for you. There's the Waukesha County judge. Yes, Waukesha County, who just ordered the Wisconsin Elections Commission to check the citizenship status of millions of people on the voter registration rolls. A massive undertaking with no clear method, much less any evidence of its necessity. The State Department of Justice is asking the judge to put the order on hold for the moment to figure out what it would mean and how to go about verifying the citizenship of 3.6 million registered Wisconsin voters before the next election in February, as ordered by Waukesha County Judge Michael Maxwell. Now, such a move, according to State Attorney General Josh Call, would require a massive overhaul of the state's voter registration system and create new verification requirements that are not otherwise provided for in state law. And further, the judge doesn't explain what it would entail to verify that an applicant to register to vote is a U.S. citizen. For example, do you check someone against a driver's license database? Well, what if they don't drive? None of this is spelled out because none of it is necessary. There's no mechanism for this because it's a solution in search of a problem. It is a thinly veiled effort to engage in racial profiling of American voters who don't look like, say, typical voters in Waukesha County. Frankly, it's sick. And we'll see how this goes during what will certainly be an appeals process. Example number two, there are some Republican legislators once again circulating a bill that would again ban absentee ballot drop boxes, which again have shown no security concerns. The eight Republicans behind the bill are using language similar to President Trump in their co-sponsorship memo, saying that Wisconsin voters deserve to have trust in the mechanisms and processes that our state employs in conducting its elections. Yeah, and we have that now. We've had that with ballot drop boxes that had been supported by Republicans as well as Democrats in the past, until Donald Trump tried to overturn his 2020 election loss and blamed drop boxes and mail-in voting despite no evidence. In fact, the closest thing we have to an issue with a drop box in Wisconsin is from a drop box opponent, the mayor of Wausau, who you'll recall removed a box outside of City Hall that was not yet in use for the 2024 presidential election. And then third, we have Senator Ron Johnson and a story coming out yesterday as he cries out about being investigated for his contributions that were intended to undermine the 2020 election results. Now, according to a story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Republican senators said yesterday that they had discovered that Ron Johnson and six other senators' phone data was obtained by the FBI as special counsel Jack Smith investigated the efforts to overturn the election. Johnson and the others expressed shock. Shock, I tell you, with Johnson saying, "We were surveilled simply for being Republicans." No, you weren't. You were rightly investigated for helping the guy who lost the election try to undermine or even overturn its results. You can't hide what the record shows, and the record shows that you would have been, Ron Johnson, moments away from being a mule delivering fraudulent ballots from fake electors if only Vice President Mike Pence had gone along with the plot. And just a couple of weeks prior to that, you, Senator Johnson, were holding hearings so that all manner of conspiracy theorists could trot out claims, all without evidence. You knew exactly what you were doing. You knew exactly what Trump and his cronies were doing. And now you have the audacity to feign outrage. Well, let's be clear about something. It will never not enrage me that we have the pieces in place to hold accountable the people who tried to overturn an election, basically stage a coup. And for various reasons, they got away with it. And they got back in power. And they're still getting away with activities that undermine American democracy. It just leads you to wonder, what does it say about a party that is so afraid of election outcomes that it will stop at nothing to put up roadblocks to voting? It should be the thing that anybody engaged in public service wants to encourage, especially when you have a system that already has the guardrails in place for elections to be secure and safe for every qualified voter. But there are too many people in our political system today who don't want every qualified voter to vote, just the ones that they choose. On the way, we are going to have today's history lesson, including John Cougar, or John Mellencamp, or John Cougar, whatever he's going by. It's his birthday today. That and more in today's history lesson coming up next. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Start today's history lesson with happy birthday greetings to John Mellencamp, 74 years old today, the pride of Seymour, Indiana. Not a bad record, pun intended, for Johnny Cougar Mellencamp. 14 top 20 hits, 30 million albums sold in the U.S., 60 million albums sold worldwide, member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, member of the Songwriters Hall of Fame. And 74 years old today, you know, not one of those who burned himself out too soon and is still out there kind of telling it like it is in his own way. A lot of Midwestern sense and sensibility going out there from John Cougar. Well, I haven't heard from in a while, but I don't doubt he's probably still performing out there or getting ready to. Never know when the next thing is coming along next.
You never do. It's hard to tell with musicians if they're just going to be like, you know what, that was enough, I'm done. Or if they are going to go on forever and ever and ever.
and some, like our next birthday celebrant here, according to stories, I mean, could have been doing a lot more, but some people don't manage their money very well or their fame. And, you know, next thing you know, you don't hear from them quite as often. And one of those would be Toni Braxton, who is 57 years old today. I did the math wrong. She is 58 years old today, Toni Braxton. On this day in 1913, the Ford Motor Company introduced the first moving vehicle assembly line, which started a whole generation of people who did one thing and did it well. And then you'd ask them, what's at the end of this line? What exactly are you building? I don't know. I just know that this goes here and something else happens, and it's a car when all is said and done.
I am way too far up the line to have any clue what I am working towards right now.
But hey, if you do one thing and do it well, then the output will take care of itself. So let's see. The late Colin Cooper, lead singer of the Climax Blues Band, was born this day in 1939.
this rock I got to roll. So I hit the road and made my getaway.
Other birthdays today include Joy Behar from The View is 83 years old today. And happy birthday to Vladimir Putin, the Russian dictator. Says here he's 73 years old today. Wait a minute. I've just been handed this note threatening to throw me out a hotel window if I don't say happy birthday. Vladimir Putin, 39 years old today. Happy birthday, Vlad. You don't look a day older than your actual 73. But anyway, do you suppose that Donald Trump sends the same kind of birthday card to him like he did to Jeffrey Epstein?
Oh, I mean,
who knows what those notes look like, you know?
Hard to say.
Let's see. In music history, it was on this day. It was 30 years ago today that Alanis Morissette's Jagged Little Pill reached the top of the album chart. It would give the record label Maverick, which was founded by Madonna, its first number one album from Alanis Morissette.
Wait a minute, we've already heard this. Why am I listening to this again?
What do you mean?
I swear we've had this song in the time I've worked here already.
Well, that's possible. It might have been about the single rather than the album. It might have been her birthday. You know, we do a broad variety of things here. Sometimes I try really hard to make sure that songs don't repeat themselves at least, you know, too close to one another.
Yeah.
There's some detailed notes in this 365-page Word document I put together over the years on these birthdays, but now I got to go back and I got to see what other Alanis Morissette songs have I put on the calendar and make changes accordingly. So thank you for bringing it to my attention.
I'm sorry. I just remember I don't like this song.
Well, that was certainly one way of putting it. Oh, you're playing the song again.
Okay. Do I stress you out? Yes, you do.
Apparently it does for you. It very much so. The one that stresses me out is ironic off of there, because a lot of the things in the song aren't ironic. They're just bad things that happen that day. But not this particular song. But I will do all I can to make sure that All I Really Want is not heard in this history segment anymore. Because Parker Olson
I give you
does
one
not
year.
Like this song.
One year.
Okay, 1 year. Okay. Tune in next October 7th when Alanis Morissette celebrates 31 years of Jagged Little Pill being at the top of the album charts. The most lopsided college football game in American history took place this day in 1916 when Georgia Tech upset Cumberland University. It probably wasn't much of an upset. The final score, Georgia Tech 222. Cumberland University, nothing. How much did they hate somebody at Cumberland University? Maybe the coach was mouthing off, quarterback, somebody that you don't call off the dogs.
You know,
and you run up 222 points on the other team.
I kind of respect that in a way.
Oh, really?
a little bit. Because, you know, it was 1916. You're like, you must have been really angry at somebody because you weren't. It wasn't social media. They must have actually said something to you, like right there.
We're going to prove how tough we are. And they did. They followed it up. So good on them. Here's another number one album. It was from this day in 1989. The album was Forever Your Girl, and the singer was Paula Abdul.
Baby, since we never, ever agree. You like the movies.
Now, some albums, they climb up the chart rather quickly once released. Some debut at or near the top of the charts. This one, back in 1989, took a little bit longer. It took 64 weeks from the time it was released to hit the top of the album chart. I believe that is still the record for the longest climb to the top of the album chart from when an album was released. And that just tells me that, yeah, just little bit by little bit, as these singles were released and played on the radio, eventually people were like, yeah, I should probably get that album.
I wonder what happened during those 64 weeks. Was she still turning out music? And she was still like, hey, you should really listen to that one, though.
Maybe doing the album promotion tour ever so slowly and just grinding away at it. I don't know, but she finally made it work for her. Let's see. On this day in 1986, The Police released their final single. So this was the final single, Don't Stand So Close to Me. It came off a greatest hits album that came out in 1986. The group had actually broken up 2 years earlier at the height of their fame. But Sting began to pursue a solo career, and they tried to get the band back together once or twice in the studio and said, you know, it's just not there anymore. And so except for a few reunion appearances, they were done. Pretty much at the height of their fame, and their last single was released this day in 1986. And another birthday to pass along. A recording date. It was on this day in 1939 that 16-year-old Judy Garland stepped into a recording studio and did this little bit of music immortality. Garland recording that song on this day in 1939. As often happens in the history lesson, not everything is entertaining or featurey, but certainly worthy of mention. It was on this day in 2001 that the U.S. began its invasion of Afghanistan with an air assault and covert operation on the ground, which would start the longest war in American history. The Fox quote-unquote news channel began broadcasting this day in 1996. And in national news today, you no doubt will be hearing about today marking the second anniversary of the terrorist group Hamas and other Palestinian militant groups launching an attack into Israel, which resulted in the deaths of around 1,200, mostly civilians, the taking of more than 200 hostages, including civilians and soldiers. And so far, in the resulting war, at least 67,000 Palestinians have been killed as well. So some of the history notes from today. The National Day Calendar, Parker is the steward of that, and we'll take a look at what do we have for National Days today?
It's pretty light on the National Day Calendar, but it is National Fruit at Work Day, Pat. Do you have
Fruit at Work Day?
Fruit at Work Day. I wish I was aware of this before I made my lunch.
Look, there's no national bring fish to work day and warm it up in the microwave. Fruit is a lot less annoying. You get your little container of grapes, or you bring along, your orange slices. Hey, that's all. That's
I hear
all
it's
fine.
A big month for apples.
And it is a big month. Yes, it is. Funny that you should say that. Sheila Everhart will be along with Hans Breit and Moser coming up in our next hour to talk all about how about them apples?
How about
and what you can do with them around Wisconsin. What else we got for the National Day Calendar?
It is National Frappe Day, which is about as close as I will get to getting a coffee, frankly, when I go to Starbucks.
I know I see that on drink menus, but is that basically, is that just iced coffee? Is that kind of it?
I really don't know.
Let me look it up here. It's a Greek iced coffee drink, according to Wikipedia, so it must be true. Made by shaking instant coffee, sugar, and a splash of cold water to create a thick foam, which is then served with cold water or milk over ice. It is sometimes confused with a blended ice cream-based drink like Frappuccino, but the original Greek frappe is not blended, but vigorously shaken to achieve its characteristic foamy texture.
I see.
And now you know. Yeah. Little instant coffee. As if drinking regular coffee were not abhorrent enough of a thought for Parker. It's the notion of, here, let's put some instant coffee on ice and put in some water or milk, shake it vigorously, and get you a foam. Really Whatever. Not, I'm not selling it at all, am I here?
Whatever. I'm not, I'm sticking to my water, That's all I need.
Okay. That's all right. I will not annoy you about that any longer. Please forgive me. I want you to be happy.
Oh, well, that's
what
good.
Else is on the calendar today?
Oh, well, it's Forgiveness and Happiness Day, Pat.
Oh, well, how appropriate for me.
How in the spirit.
Forgiveness and Happiness Day.
Yeah, one day. That's one thing. I don't know why that's one thing.
Actually, there is no like single calendar that, you know, only one person decides what's here and what's not. I mean, like I've said before, there have to be 20 different variations of National Dog Day or Pet Your Dog Day or Happy Dog Day. And the same goes for things like this. Forgiveness and Happiness Day. I don't know what prompted this particular October 7th Forgiveness and Happiness Day, but somebody said, hey, we've got to put this on here.
Somebody was feeling a little down and they wanted to pick up their friend.
Yes, I hope so. So again, find yourself somebody to forgive and to make them happy today. Still ahead, as I mentioned, we are going to be talking to Sheila Everhart of the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association about Wisconsin apples and its many varieties and how you can enjoy picking your own out there across Wisconsin's orchards. Hans Brighton of Moser will talk to us about ag issues as well, including bailing out farmers. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Beyond the rainbow, why, oh, why?
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, well, if you're getting excited for the Brewers, seeing if they can sweep the Cubs and win best three out of five series, you'll have to wait for tomorrow when the series moves to Wrigley Field. Coverage begins tomorrow at 3:30 on Civic Media stations up in Hayward, Park Falls, Racine, Kenosha, Oshkosh, and Richland Center. And if you really like sports on the radio, you'll want to know that the Wisconsin Badger football team will be playing Iowa, and it is a late game on Saturday. Coverage will begin at 4 o'clock on Civic Media stations in Richland Center. Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, and Ripon, head over to civicmedia.us to learn more. The daily newsletter from Up North News, get that by subscribing at upnorthnewswi.com. And it is Banned Books Week, and Ellie has an article in there about different groups hosting virtual book clubs this week to showcase some of their favorite banned books, so you can learn what those titles are and how you can take part, again, by being a subscriber to our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com, for that. And, of course, we have our weekend Sunday morning newsletter with our question of the week. This time around, it is our way too early first poll for Wisconsin governor in the Democratic primary, and we have plenty of people choosing candidates who have announced and choosing some candidates who are not necessarily candidates yet. They haven't announced. We don't know for sure that they will announce, but people are giving us their preferences, in some cases just sending us a name, in other instances telling us why they're supporting this person for governor. Again, we're not committing you. Don't have to put in blood that you're going to vote for this person next August in the primary. But who do you support right now? And again, you can sign up for the newsletters at upnorthnewswi.com. Parker Olson not only produces this fine mess of a program here, but also tracks some of the entertainment news and feature stories to share with us this time every day. What's he got for today?
Today, and actually it is today, that there is a 2-hour-long documentary about Ozzy Osbourne coming out. You can stream.
Oh, does that come out to see? I was just glossing over entertainment news and sections, and I kept seeing Ozzy's name in the headlines, and I wasn't sure, you know, what the deal was about. So the documentary comes out today.
It's on Paramount Plus. You can stream it. It's the last like 6 years or so of his life, including his final show as well. So that could be really interesting to watch, and it kind of just covers, how he's kind of struggled with his health those last few years.
Okay. I mean, look, I've made clear I grew up with parents that were listening to Neil Diamond and Barbara Streisand and things like that. So Ozzy's not really in my, you know, milieu. But is that something that you have interest in watching, or?
No, not quite.
Just to see what the fuss is about, maybe?
Maybe to see what the fuss is about. Maybe to learn more about him. I'll give you that. Maybe to learn a little more.
I mean, obviously, when he had the reality show that first came out, him and his wife Sharon and the kids, I mean, I will admit, I kind of rolled my eyes at first, like, oh, really? But, and again, I never, like, sat through the show, but you can't help but see clips from time to time. And there's just something entertaining or heartwarming or whatever you want to call it about somebody who's got this really strong persona out there in public.
Yeah.
And then they're just, you know, they're just dad at home. Yeah. You know, and dad can be a little goofy sometimes. Yeah. And I think I may have told the story once or twice before. I'm not sure. But growing up, one of my younger sisters, her best friend, she'd go over and play at the house sometimes and talk about this really sweet dad. The sweet dad was Baron Von Raschke. For folks that watched wrestling back in the 1970s, he was one of the bad guys. He was the first one that had the claw. And when the claw came out, you know that, you know, he was about to win the match. And he was like, this is a big time villain. And he was the sweetest dad in the world. And so you see that with Ozzy Osbourne and others. And I just think that's great.
There you go.
Compared to the ones who have this really sweet appearance on the outside, and then you learn later on they're just a first-class jerk, you know, behind the scenes. So I would much rather see it go the way that we're seeing from Ozzy Osbourne and Baron Von Raschke and others. So there you go. What else you got out there today?
We've also got, I don't know when exactly this will hit for people, what like generation of people this will hit for, but Reading Rainbow I barely remember what it was. Basically just like a TV show about reading books and stuff, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, unlike PBS.
Right? Yeah, it's going to make a comeback. It's been away for like 20 years, but it'll be on YouTube channel called Kidzoku, which is operated by Sony.
Okay.
There's four episodes. They're going to have John Legend is one of the guests, so they've already got some guests in there, and it's going to be hosted by a librarian and a literacy advocate.
Tony is telling us on YouTube, Reading Rainbow is for all generations.
I agree.
It wasn't for mine. It came up later on. I was already a voracious book reader at that point, but a big supporter. And I know that author Laura Ann Bird, whenever we have her on, you know, the first time we had her on and we played the Reading Rainbow theme as her walk-up music. And I thought she was just going to melt into a puddle right there. She was just so happy to have that. So when you hear it from time to time on this show, you know that Laura Ann Bird is going to come and recommend some great books for us. So that part's very cool. Anything else?
Do you want to try to tackle the whole 100% tariff on foreign made films?
No, okay. I think that's enough said to lead us into what we're going to be talking about in the next hour. In part, is this whole notion of the Trump trade war and the tariffs that are supposed to. Well, it's not really clear what they're supposed to do. I mean, if you're taxing foreign films, and now there's, I guess, new taxes on foreign trucks that come in and things like that, and is somehow it's supposed to revive American manufacturing and American filmmaking and all of that, but these things don't turn on a dime. And so there's a lot of suffering if this is the way you go, rather than trying to just nurture, you know, new industries or rebirth of industries. But farmers found that out the hard way with Trump's first trade war back in 2018, and they are finding it out again with the current trade war from the president. There's now talk of a bailout. It was a $20 billion bailout in 2018. It might be a $50 billion bailout for taxpayers this time around. We'll cover that and much more in the next hour here on these mornings with Pat Brightlow, powered by Up North News on Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.